You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, May 17th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live. Steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Zubik v. Burwell becomes the next major case to fail to resolve against right-minded people's favor because of the death of Antonin Scalia. Meanwhile, Obamacare continues to cut the uninsured rate. Sanders in Puerto Rico attacks austerity. And have the Koch brothers really had a realignment? And if so, does it really matter? Meanwhile, Donald Trump, presumptive Republican nominee, cancels an interview because he hears the reporter speak the devil tongue.
Whoa.
Also on the program, the CIA Internal Watchdog Division accidentally deleted the torture report. Not all of it, just the one that was printed out and the digital file of it. Also on the program today, a regressive left report. An a-hole on a plane attacks a Muslim woman for being Muslim. Julian Castro doing his best to line up his progressive bona fides, and we will have an interview with right-wing Mandela on the new reports that the CIA was involved in his arrest in South Africa years ago, and that he was a communist, which I thought we already knew that. But we'll hear from his spokesperson later in the program. You know where that's going, right? You all know where that's going. I couldn't even. Hey, folks. Just a little note. On Thursday, tomorrow on the program, Wayne Barrett will be here. He is a longtime reporter from The Village Voice who will talk about his reporting over the years on Donald Trump, who will be the Republican nominee, folks. So let's get to know him. Let's get to know him really well, and not just hear Michael pretend to be him over and over again.
It's true.
I want to just a little note. On Thursday on the program, David Dayen will be here to talk about his new book, Chain of Title. It is out today, folks. I can tell you it is a fantastic book. A really important book. It got an amazing review in the New York Times. And you all know David Dayen from this program, and I imagine other places as well. But go out and get his book. We will put a link via our Amazon link on Majority.fm. Michael will put it on now.
Not Jet is what I was trying to ask you.
Well, is it? Does Jet sell those books?
I'm checking.
All right.
Sometimes they
put it through Jet.
I couldn't believe it. I saw the other day on the street in Manhattan, I was walking by and I saw these guys unloading all these Amazon boxes, but then there was a bunch of Jet boxes there as well.
Yeah,
Jet
actually,
was out making some waves.
Tomorrow I'll have a coupon code too where you can get your first three purchases off of Jet. We'll give you 15% off. We will talk about that tomorrow. But I want to get to Zubik because this is another case. I mean, folks, we've had now two cases, very specifically, and in fact, I would argue maybe even three, but two directly, where the death of Antonin Scalia has prevented the right wing from cutting into our rights as Americans, frankly. The first, of course, was Friedrich, which would have seriously undermined the ability for public sector unions to exist. I mean, by all accounts, it would have largely destroyed public sector unions, which, of course, is the last bastion of unionhood in this country. And because of Antonin Scalia's death, I mean, this is the but for, as we used to say in law school. But for Antonin Scalia's death, the Friedrich case, which involved the question as to whether or not unions would have to be or could be the exclusive bargainer on behalf of public sector workers to a municipality or to a state or to a county or to a federal or to the federal government, and would have to bargain on behalf of all the workers who are working in that agency or force or whatever it was. And yet those workers would not have to pay any agency fees, essentially, any dues at all to the union. So basically they would get free representation. And this stuff costs money, of course. By all accounts, this was going to be the, probably not the first, but probably the largest assault on public sector unions we've had in this country since probably Taft-Hartley. And because Antonin Scalia is dead and died when he died, didn't happen. 4-4. Case basically goes away. Well, in Zubik, a similar dynamic. It's probably not going to go away. It's probably going to come back. But the case in Zubik v. Burwell is an Affordable Care Act case. It is sort of the child, the nephew, the niece of Hobby Lobby. There is, as you know, in the Affordable Care Act, a mandate for insurance plans to cover contraceptive care for women. There's a bunch of other mandates, too. You need to be able to get a colon cancer screening. I can't even say the name of those things. Colonoscopy, yeah. So my last one was too uncomfortable to... I think I blocked out the name.
I just got uncomfortable.
Oh, believe me.
Yeah.
Wait till it really begins, buddy.
Okay.
Anyways.
Kombucha.
But a colonoscopy. I remember when, you know, that I was recommended by my doctor to start having them at age 40 because there was no history of cancer, but there was a history of polyps in my family. We don't need to go any deeper, as it were. And, but... when I went to go see, and I didn't understand this until like literally 10 years later, 5 years later. And I think actually on Break Room Live, we videotaped it, my colonoscopy. We don't need to talk about that.
But apparently you want to.
When I went to the insurance company, when I went to the colonoscopy doctor, and I went to the nurse at the front desk or the receptionist or whatever, the administrator, she said, you know, why are you here? And I said, well, you know, obviously I'd made the appointment. Why are you here? Well, my doctor said I got to come and get a colonoscopy. And she said, is there bleeding? And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, you want to say there's bleeding because insurance will cover it that way. I'm like, okay. And it was some exchange like that.
I'm bleeding all over. I can barely even feel and hear myself, and I don't even know about Social Security reports.
Well, but here's the point. Here's the point is that these preventative procedures, which were prescribed to me by my doctor, were apparently not covered or, I mean, this doctor, ultimately, I didn't go back to for the second round because that was the whole thing I had with the whether or not they would give me
that was
the
insane.
Proper anesthesia,
that
was whatever
insane.
It was. But the bottom line is that's another thing that insurance mandates. That's a long way of saying, like, it's not just, before the men's rights activists get the hackles up, it's not just a free giveaway to women, slutty women, as Rush Limbaugh famously said about Sandra Fluck. And so this case, there was exceptions that were put in for for-profit entities where, and this was carved out in Hobby Lobby, where because it would offend the sensibilities of certain religious organizations or religious people to provide contraceptive care for their workers, there was a system put in place where they would just inform the insurance company, we don't want to do it. And the insurance company would then just turn to the government and they would offer it anyways. And in the case of Zubik, which ostensibly is this little organization of nuns, but it's really more to do with a Catholic nursing home company where there's multiple nursing homes, where they hire employees of all different faiths. The idea that they would write a, fill out a 2-page form saying that they don't want to provide contraceptive care because it offends their religious sensibilities was too much. And the argument is that even telling the insurance company on a 2-page form was too much of a burden on our expression of religion. This is what it was about. And we can't do it. And yeah, that's right. The Catholics are very, they get a lot of chutzpah. And so this basically comes down to the question of, can there be a compromise where there's something where they can be at arm's length enough from this? And basically, because the court knew that it could not come to a resolution because it's 4-4, because Antonin Scalia is dead. I'm not going to do the dance right now.
Okay.
We'll do it at the end of it. Yes. Because Antonin Scalia is dead, the court issued an opinion and basically did not rule on any question of law, just rather whether or not it was possible for a compromise to be made. And they basically sent it down to the lower courts, 7 of 8, I believe, which have ruled already, federal appellate courts, that this is not too much of a burden, but it basically sent it down to them and said, come up with some solution. And this is the key part of the opinion. Both petitioners, that would be Zubik, and the government now confirm that such an option is feasible. That feasible they were talking about was whether contraceptive coverage could be provided to petitioners' employees through petitioners' insurance companies without any such notice from the petitioners. In other words, can the insurance companies just automatically give it to the plaintiff's employees without the petitioners knowing it, essentially? And the court said the petitioners and government now confirm such an option is feasible. Petitioners have clarified that their religious exercise is not infringed where they, quote, need to do nothing more than contract for a plan that does not include coverage for some or all forms of contraception. In other words, they thought they were being very cute, the Zubik folks, by saying the only instance where our religious freedom is not being infringed upon is when we can sign up for an insurance plan that does not include coverage for some or all forms of contraception. Now, theoretically, what they could have said is our religious liberty cannot be infringed only in the instance when people who are working for us do not have access to contraceptive care through an insurance company that we do business with. Now, that would have seemed somewhat unreasonable, but that's where they wanted to go. They thought they were getting there with this. But a 4-4 split of the Supreme Court now says that the government has confirmed that the challenge procedure for employees, this is a quote, for employers with insured plans could be modified to operate in the manner posited in the court's order while still ensuring that the affected women receive contraceptive coverage seamlessly together with the rest of their health coverage. In other words, the government could just say to insurance companies, theoretically, if you are providing health insurance and anybody who you've contracted with, and you should just automatically provide it to employers through some backdoor mechanism. Set it up. Period. Automatically. So that places like these nursing homes can pretend they have no awareness this is happening. And now, were this a 5-4 court, they could have very well ruled on whether or not Zubik's religious liberty was infringed by just simply having employees that they knew were getting contraceptive coverage through the fact that they were their employees. So in other words, I hire you, you get insurance from the company that I have contracted, even though they don't offer, even though the plan that we're buying does not offer contraceptive care, the fact that you're our employee means that that insurance company has now had their bureaucracy triggered and will then provide you a supplemental contraceptive care. And if you don't think that Antonin Scalia would have ruled in that favor, you're delusional. I don't know that anybody would. I mean, but this is just another example. And look, understand, this is the way that law is built, right? I mean, if that becomes an infringement, if the just simple fact that because I've contracted with party B and party B gives it to my employer, because they're my employer, if that is an infringement of my religious liberty, you understand the implications of that. I mean, what's stunning to me is that, I mean, these nuns who are against capital punishment, I mean, they pay taxes to a government that is involved. Why? I mean, I guess they don't pay taxes. I guess that's the point. But their employees do. I just don't understand. But that's what their thing is. What?
I asked a nun from one of these nursing homes, the specific the ones that I don't know if they all are under the same name, but I asked her about this to the dismay of family members that were sitting there and thought I was going to like fight a nun. What she thought about...
Did she hit you with a swatch?
No. She was a very nice elderly nun who's very with it mentally. And I asked her what she thought about it. And she had been to D.C. Within the past couple of months, and she said there was just all these, she started telling me there were all these nuns there and all this and that, and she's like, we just can't afford it. And I was like, I don't think that's the point. She said we can't afford to insure to that degree.
That's hilarious, because there's no cost associated with it.
I was like, I don't think that that's the argument. And then, you know, I got hit under the table, and because it had already been like,
you got hit with a swatch under the table.
No, by my mother.
Oh, okay. Your mother hit you with a swatch under the table.
You know what's funny is that every time the word nun comes up, I want to do my Barbara Bush impression.
Well, here's the point.
It's kind of terrible, but it's true.
And she was a cool nun, but she didn't know what was happening, and she was... A lot of nuns are old and pretty out of it. She was not.
That's weird that she would say that in terms of the money. I mean, the fact is that it doesn't cost, obviously.
She was misinformed. Been misinformed, and I was surprised that...
Doesn't cost the employer anything. And for people who think, like, well, how can that be free? The fact is, from an actuarial standpoint, if you're an insurance company and you are insuring an employer's... 5,000 employees, let's say, a certain percentage of them are going to have unwanted pregnancies. And you, as an insurer, are going to have to pay for everything that's involved in that unwanted pregnancy. Particularly if they carry it to term, it's going to be very expensive for you. And so
it'll cost you a shekel.
It'll cost you. And so the bottom line is, from an actuarial standpoint, the insurance companies find it have found it just as sort of profitable, or in terms of like costs, more or less a break-even proposition. That's just the reality. So not only does it not cost the employer, it's not really extended out to the rest of us, for all of you libertarians who are concerned about that. All right, we've got... we're going to get to this Koch brothers story. Apparently, there's a big story in the National Review suggesting that the Koch brothers are going to pull back on presidential elections. But they're also, apparently, going to drop $42 million into Senate races between now and September, which is an extraordinary amount of money.
And the frame of that article is quite misleading, because the frame is that there's the argument between the corporate side and the political side, and the corporate side is winning in the sense that they're just going to sort of pull back from politics because it's undermining their brand.
But it's
whereas they're actually amplifying and intensifying their fight in politics just besides the presidential election. But
right.
The frame of it is they're stepping back because they're concerned about the brand's image and the broader. It's actually pretty well reported, I think, but the frame is ludicrous.
That's right. I mean, basically what we're seeing is that they're going to go back to being a little bit more low-key and talk about stuff that's not as sexy as supporting a presidential candidate. So it's going to be a little bit more about, like, policy and supporting things like ALEC, and it's just really a reorientation. They're just going to wait on the presidential election. Of course, you know, this would have been a very different calculation had it been Scott Walker had been the nominee.
There's a lot of human misery we could cause outside of presidential elections, Mary.
Juju. Juju.
You don't just need to be helping elect a president in order to make poor kids poorer and people lose their homes. There's a lot more we can do.
Juju's petals. Is that what it is? Is it Juju's petals?
I do not remember.
Yes. They find Juju's petals in my... You know, every time food stamps get cut, an angel gets their wings.
You say it's a big price tag, but can you really put a price tag on poor kids losing their homes and kids getting frostbite and no more Negroes on the streets? Well, I don't think so.
We will also talk about the story about the CIA watchdog accidentally deleting the torture report. This is just unbelievable. I mean, supposedly there's still another copy in a CIA vault, but like this is the way it works. Like, Then the next day we have a fire. Can you believe it?
I thought that vault was like totally fireproof, and then somehow a fire got started inside the vault, which upsets me because no one more than me wants the public to know about the people that we tortured.
Don't you think it's going to end up being more like a situation where it's not a fire, because that would be fireproof? It's just like, we had the laundry room, we put it near the vault, then all of a sudden the washer machine overflows, water gets into the thing.
Next thing you know, it's soaked, it's totally illegible, which personally just shocks and upsets me because no one more than me wants the public to know about the people that we tortured and had dogs bite all over the Middle East, man.
We will also talk a little bit about Julian Castro. Apparently, in his desperate attempt to rewrite his sort of political history, HUD is going to come out with a different plan about purchasing more Jews. Actually,
good lesson,
you know,
though, on political pressure, though.
Oh, definitely. And actually, yeah, there was another example in terms of a letter sent to the Fed in terms of diversity. This is all good stuff we can talk to David Dane about. All right, folks, Teaser Tuesday, we're going to say goodbye. Look at that. We're shortchanging you free beers by 13 minutes. And if you divide that by how much you paid for today's podcast, it still comes out to, like, we've shortchanged you zero. Right? Is that how it works? I don't know. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with the fun half of the program. You can be a part of the program. 646-257-3920. 646-257-3920. David Dayan's book is available, and go to majority.fm. Click on it today. Chain of Title. Tweet about it. Tell your friends. No one deserves to have a massive success with this book more than David Dayan. And the book is worthy in and of itself. Just ask the New York Times, which did not review FUBAR. So. But, you know, it was 10 years ago. I've let go.
Gentile's book and not yours and the New York Times. Ooh, that's got to sting.
It does sting. All right. Don't forget, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use your coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off. 10% off your fair trade coffee, folks. What could be a better deal? All right, quick break. We'll be right back. We'll turn the IM on now.